Good morning. Grace and peace to you. We haven't sung that one for a while. That is one of my top two. It's either that or Amazing Grace. You probably have your favorites. Those are my two. Thank you, Don, for leading that. Thank you, Brad, for the prayer. And Rick, for your words. Jesus is Lord. Don't ever doubt it. The word kurios in the Greek, K-U-R-I-O-S, as it's spelled for us in the English, means one having power or authority. As a noun, it means lord or master or owner. And it's used extensively in the scriptures and especially in the New Testament. We don't use words like that much today, lord and master, because it reminds us of former days of monarchs and family titles and people who were born into privilege and so forth and so on, and even of slavery. And we don't use that word. But as we say, make no mistake about it, God uses that word. It's still very much in his vocabulary. Jesus is still Lord and he is still master. It's an old word, but God will never let go of that word because it is a reality of life and the way things are on this planet. The fact that Jesus is Lord and his rule is being established over all things is part of the ebb and flow of history, which we are experiencing right now. Maybe you never thought about that. If you want, we're going to start there in 1 Corinthians 15. It both has to do with the physical time world in which we live and the spirit world, which we don't see, that other realm that, as I like to say, is on the other side of the curtain, where angels and demons live. Very much a real world all around us. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start with verse 20, and this assures us that Christ Jesus must reign until all enemies are subdued. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God, to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. That would be God the Father. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him so that God may be all in all. We know the story. At some point in eternity, whenever that was, Satan rebelled against God. And that was what led to the sin of mankind when Satan came down and tempted Eve. And Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and sin was introduced into the world, and death, both physical and spiritual death, were introduced into the world. One of the purposes of Christ's coming, we always think, you know, he is Savior, his name will be Jesus, he will save his people from their sins, amen, and thank you for salvation, Lord God. But one of the reasons Jesus has come is also to rule, to bring back the rule of God on the earth, which was snatched, if you will, by Satan when mankind agreed to listen to Satan and do his will. And that is, in fact, what Jesus is doing right now. As I was, you know, reading through this passage of Scripture, it just kind of came to me. It's always been there, one of those insights, if you will. I never saw that before. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And he's going to reign until he's abolished all rule and authority and power. That is, in fact, what's happening right now on this earth. Jesus is reigning and bringing all these powers and authorities under his rule. You remember there in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor. But he says there what? Well, who are our enemies? Not flesh and blood, right? Principalities and powers and the powers of darkness and in the heavenly places and so forth. That's part of what's going on right now with Jesus ruling. Things we don't see, but I think we see it carried over on the planet right now, where we see rebellion by nations, rebellion by people. And he's reigning and trying to bring, he's bringing all these enemies under his feet. Some will come willingly, as we're going to see, through the gospel. They'll humble themselves and say, "Yea, Lord, you are Lord, and I need your salvation." But some will not come, and they will have to be dragged. And in the end, they will confess, "You are Lord." So I want you to think about that passage of Scripture and what is in fact happening today. And as you see all the chaos and trouble, recognize Jesus is in fact working to bring all powers and authority under his rule, under his feet. We're thankful to see death will be the last enemy to be destroyed or abolished. Death has been overcome, but it's not been totally abolished yet. And in the end, as we, you know, we read in other places, we're going to a place where there'll be no death, no illness, no trouble at all. Death will die. I want to look at some specifics about Jesus' rule. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Kind of carries on to our thoughts we just mentioned there. The Christ Jesus rules the kings of the earth. Revelation 1 and 5. The message, let's start in 4. John to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is. He is ruler of the kings of the earth. However, God is doing that, but he is sovereign. He has been made ruler of the kings of the earth, and he's ruling now. And when I read that, I'm reminded of the thoughts not only in Jeremiah, but in a couple other places in the prophets about the potter and the clay, where God says to Jeremiah, you know, or am I not the potter, and Israel, aren't you the clay? And if any nation that I see that is doing evil and wickedness, I can bring it down. And I will. And he has. But if I see a nation doing good, you know, I'll continue to mold that nation and help it to grow and do the right thing. He is ruler of the kings of the earth. And we don't ever want to forget that. He is Lord of all. Now, you ask any president or prime minister maybe, or premier or whoever it is, they might say, no, I am the sovereign. I'm the one over my people. I'm the one over my country. There might be a few that would admit Jesus Christ as Lord, but by and large, they probably would not. But he is. And that should give us hope and encouragement to know he's ruling. He's watching over everything that happens in Washington, D.C., in Moscow, in Beijing, or wherever it is. He hears it all. He knows what's happening and what the plans are. So we should not be afraid, and we should have faith. Let's turn over to chapter 12 in Revelation. Beautiful little prophecy there. I love Revelation chapter 12. Talking about the sign in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and the head of crown of 12 stars, which is representative of Israel. In verse 5, she gave birth to a son, who is, of course, Jesus the Christ, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And that is a reference to Psalm 2, if you want to go to Psalm 2. I love Psalm 2. I love a lot of Scripture. Do you love a lot of Scripture? There's so many good things in Scripture, words of encouragement and truths that we really need to hang our hat on and build our faith on. Where Psalm 2 talks about God establishing his Messiah. And then there's a little piece that says, you know what? Nations, rulers, you better kiss the Son, lest he gets angry. Jesus is Lord. Don't ever forget it. He is king. Pilate put over his head on the cross, king of the Jews. The elders and chief priests wanted that plaque taken down, but Pilate said what? What I've written, I've written. And it was truth. He is king of the Jews. He is a king. He is king in his kingdom. And in fact, he is the king. King of kings and Lord of lords over all. There is none, man or woman, governor, nation, that is not under his authority. Jesus is Lord. Another thought. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. You're talking about nations and countries and so forth. Well, more specifically, you know, that affects us. But Jesus Christ has specific authority over the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 19. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There's that thought again. Seated him his right hand in the heavenly places. There's that thought again. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. There's that thought again. It's everywhere. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he's over all things. And I like to think of that. It says not only in this age, but in the age to come. And thank God, we praise God, there is an age to come, right? There is an age to come. That age for the Christian, for that person who is saved, when life will be such joy, have such promise and hope, free from all troubles, and as we said, free from all concern about death. But Jesus has absolute authority over the church, the assembly of the saints. That's what that word means. It's, I don't know if you ever looked up the word church in your little Greek dictionary there. If you look it up in Vines, there's no entry. It says, see assembly. That's what the word means. It's an assembly. It's a coming together, and we are very much the church when we come together on the Lord's Day around the table. That's what the word means. We are an assembly, a group of people called out by God for a specific purpose. But Jesus has the authority. And he has the authority to direct its purpose. What is the purpose of the church? To bring glory to Christ, right? To do his will. Its mission, to go out with the gospel. Its character, to be like him. Its doctrine, we read that, you know, this is all found in the scriptures and in particular the New Testament. It's all there, what we stand for, what we do, how we worship, kind of people we should be, and so forth and so on. And that wonderful gospel message and how a person is saved. It's all there. It's found nowhere else. There are no other inspired writings other than the scriptures, the Bible, God's book. Jesus continues as mediator of the new covenant. He mediated that covenant. And we should be thankful for that, that now there is true forgiveness of sin because of the sacrifice of his blood. And that brings us to the next thought. He is high priest. His blood continues to cleanse us. He offered that sacrifice one time for all time. He is our advocate, as John writes in 1 John. We pray in his name, right? He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will grant it. So he intercedes for us. He's our advocate before God if we're in him. He's our shepherd. We listen to his voice, no other voice. He's our teacher. Remember that one little passage of scripture, Jesus says, don't call anyone else father. Don't call anyone else teacher. There's one teacher. That's me. Church is not about titles. It's about service. Jesus is Lord. We could go on, but he has all authority over the church. And he is directing us through his word, through answered prayer, through the Holy Spirit, in all these ways. We humble ourselves and accept him as our Savior, Lord, and Master as we walk with him and with one another. Then, as we alluded to, let's go to Hebrews 2. Jesus Christ rules in the spirit realm. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself also partook of the same. Now, we'll stop there for a moment. Of course, the Word of God existed in all eternity, as John writes in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who he was in eternity. He was in the Spirit. Well, that's all there was. And then whenever God brought in angels and etc., we don't know for sure. Evidently, before he created this time world, Jesus is still over them all. But we read on, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. I've kind of focused on this, that he had to take on flesh and blood in order to face up the devil on the devil's ground. Of course, this all started, well, it actually started when he was born, when Herod tried to kill him. Remember? The little babies and so forth. But then Jesus faced off the devil in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. And then, of course, all his life, living a sinless life in this body of flesh. That is really what brought Satan down. You want to destroy Satan. You want to fight Satan. You want to make Satan feel really bad. Do the right thing. Live a righteous life. That's the way you fight Satan. Love one another. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be in subjection to your husband. Parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and so forth and so on. Peter writes, love one another fervently. Take care of one another. This is the way you back Satan off and defeat him. But through his death then, as we remembered this morning, Jesus defeated Satan, overcame death and Hades, and he's came back from the dead. So, Satan is now a defeated enemy. He's still out there running around, but someday he will disappear in the lake of fire. We also remember, I don't have scriptures for all this, we could add a lot more scriptures on your little ticket this morning. Remember when Jesus cast out demons? They knew who he was, didn't they? Didn't they? He said, we know who you are. You come to torment us before the time. And they did, you know, whenever he said, you know, get it out of that, you know, I'm talking about the man who had the legion, and there were others. And when he said, you know, demons leave, they did, didn't they? They did. They did what he said. He's Lord of them. They listened to his word. You know, they listen better than we do. Because when he said, leave that person, they did. He has power over them. He's Lord in that realm. And then Hebrew, you can look in Hebrews 1 and 6 there. It talks about the writer affirming, you can read several verses there in the first chapter, that the angels of God worship the Son. He's Lord. He's God. The angels do. The angels do what Jesus says. So in that spirit realm, Jesus is Lord of all. There isn't a place where Jesus isn't Lord. Isn't that something? Well, maybe. The question is, as we take a final look in John chapter 10, is he Lord, your Lord? Now, he is in fact over all, but is he your Lord? Really a question that every person needs to answer. Even if you have been baptized in Christ Jesus, I understand that. But we could still have had that happen at some time in our past, and we might not be following Jesus and accepting him as the Lord in every aspect of our life. As possible. In John 10, I want to start with verse 24, and this is the context of that John 10 chapter, another beautiful chapter where it talks about Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, the Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ or the Messiah, tell us plainly. You know, and Jesus has done all these signs and he's done all this teaching, and you know, they just still can't accept. And Jesus answered him, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. He says you're not. How do you know if you're of Jesus' sheep? He tells us right here. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. That's the test. They have ears to hear. They want to hear what Jesus says. And they do what Jesus said. They follow me. It's that simple. But then he says, I give eternal life to them and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is Lord. He's over all. He's ruling at the right hand of the Father. And he's bringing all enemies under his feet. Nations, beings on the other side, demons and so forth. And, you know, you can read in Daniel about all that goings on with those spirit beings, which we can't understand because we just get a glimpse of it. All those things. And then, of course, humanity. Calling every last person through the cross, come for salvation, but yes, come and accept me as your Lord and Master. I will guide you through life and I will give you life eternal. It goes hand in hand. You can't have the salvation and not the lordship of Jesus. It's not possible. They come together in one. So the question is Jesus your Lord? Paul affirms that one day, this is in Philippians 2, it might be on your ticket, I'm not going to turn there. In Philippians 2, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will happen. And I pray that that is not the first time that you will confess that Jesus is Lord, because then it's too late. So please consider, is Jesus your Lord? Have you been baptized into him? Do you have faith in him? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead? That he's the Son of God come in the flesh? But then are you listening to his voice and are you following him in all of life's journey? I pray the answer for you is yes. If it's not, please get a hold of us. God bless.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cfcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.